This morning, I wanted to talk to you about The Wandering Sheep. It's a great story. It's a great parable. It's in two places in the Bible, both in Matthew and in Luke, and we'll be reading from both of those shortly. But before we did that, I just wanted to go through an element of talking about sheep. So I did some work on this, and I found the Novice's Guide to Farming, because I thought, how difficult can it be? So lesson one, sheep. It's fair to say sheep farming is a bit of a challenge for someone like me. It's a challenge on the grounds of I was raised on a council estate in Coventry. The first time I was face to face with a sheep, other than Sunday lunch, was in Wales, when I was on a Sunday school camp. And it was the first time I heard sheep and realised they actually all had different voices. I also was able to scar my daughter Emma for life when we were out for lunch. Went to a lovely farm restaurant. It was on the Fossway, just going past Morton in Marsh, going towards Halford, that area. Lovely farm shop with a restaurant. We sat there. We couldn't think what to have for lunch. I looked in the field, saw some lovely sheep in the field. I think, I'll have lamb. Now, she was only 10 at the time, and so unfortunately, she all of a sudden came to a realisation that that cute little thing in the field was ending up on my plate, and it wasn't just there for wool. Alas, she's never eaten lamb ever since. So I have looked at a number of idiot guides. I have looked at some online courses. I have looked about how easy is it to do sheep farming. And I have concluded, without any shadow of a doubt, it really just not for me. But I did find out 10 interesting facts. Number one, sheep have rectangular pupils. That was a new one. I never thought anyone had a rectangular pupil, but sheep have rectangular pupils. It allows for a wider vision, a field of vision, around 270 to 320 degrees. This means that sheep can see almost everything everywhere around them, except for what's directly behind them, without having to turn their heads. As a prey species, this helps sheep stay aware of their surroundings and watch for predators, even when their head is down grazing. Number two, sheep have an excellent sense of smell. One way sheep communicate with each other and their surrounding is through scent. Sheep have scent glands in front of their eyes and between the digits of their hooves that produce smelly secretions used to communicate with one another. Ewes recognise their lamb's bleat. Sheep also communicate through vocalisation, often called bleating. A female sheep that has given birth to a lamb is called a ewe. Ewes are able to recognise which lamb is theirs just by the sound of their call. There are over 1,000 breeds of sheep. Number five, sheep are clever animals. I just repeat, sheep are clever animals. Despite some popular beliefs, sheep are intelligent animals with great memories. Research has shown that sheep can recognise up to 50 other sheep's faces and remember them for up to 2 years. They are even able to recognise human faces. Other studies have shown that sheep are capable of remembering how to navigate complex mazes. Sheep can self-medicate. Sheep use plants and other substances and otherwise hold no nutritional value to them to prevent or treat diseases, and teach their young to do the same. Sheep are emotionally complex with distinct personalities. Sheep are capable of experiencing a wide range of emotions, just as humans do. Many studies have highlighted the ability of sheep to feel angry, to feel afraid, bored, sad, happy. Not only are sheep able to feel basic emotions, but their feelings can be very complex. For example, scientific studies have shown that sheep can be pessimists or optimists. Sheep are highly social animals. A group of sheep called a flock. But sheep do not remain in flocks simply for protection from predators. Sheep form strong bonds with one another, such as those between a mother and a lamb or other friendships. Studies have revealed that sheep can distinguish between different emotional expressions, such as pictures of sheep with calm, startled, or fearful expressions. There is a very important skill for sheep to have, as knowing how other sheep are feeling is the basis for forming strong social relationships and keeping the flock safe. Sheep have an upper lip that is divided by a distinct groove. The groove is called a pilthrum. Sheep are selective grazers and prefer to eat vegetation close to the soil surface. Sheep don't have any front teeth. Missing teeth? Not a problem. Sheep have a hard upper palate that the lower teeth press up against to break the food down. So, now we've got some amazing facts about sheep and some amazing new concepts of what, when we go out in the field and see all the sheep in the field, as to what's really going on. Let's get back to today. Less dreaming about being a sheep farmer. Today, we're going to be looking a little at the parable found both in Matthew and Luke concerning lost sheep. So let's dive straight in. Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 to 14. The parable of the wandering sheep. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 others that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of those little ones should perish. I think it's always interesting when you read a parable or read parts of the scriptures and where we are, certainly in the Gospels, when Jesus is speaking, and sometimes you need to look at what was happening a bit before and a bit after what was being said, and the context of what was going on. And here in Matthew's Gospel, I think it's really important and it's really interesting that Jesus was doing a real teaching here. He was teaching some really, really, really big concepts. He was teaching his disciples, and he was teaching the Pharisees, and he was teaching those who were in earshot, some really important fundamental questions. So before we got onto this story in this parable, there was a question being asked by the disciples. The disciples said, in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Well, Jesus, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." There's a real mind shift going on. Jesus is doing some fundamental teaching about what is important in the kingdom of heaven. Who is important in the kingdom of heaven? It's not about status. It's not about position. It's not about how clever you are. It's about your relationship with him. It's about your vulnerability with him. It's about your innocence with him. And then the parable is said again. It comes in Luke's Gospel, the same parable. Luke 15, verses 1 to 7. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. And again here, around this point where Jesus is teaching, he's being criticized, he's being openly challenged, he's being questioned on, okay, Jesus, I hear your theory, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, tax collectors and those, I mean, we heard last week, Mark was speaking about tax collectors and how they really were seen and how they were pictured in that process. And it's interesting how Luke picks up the tax collectors, whereas Matthew, who was the tax collector, leaves that one to the side. But here, just before Luke goes on to the retelling of the parable of the lost sheep, in Luke 14, verses 15 to 24, that's a parable of the great banquet. That's a parable that we all know, or we may know, but in simplest form, it's a message to invite all. No one is barred. If the obvious people who should be there, who you thought, well, that's just obvious they should be there, if they're going to procrastinate, invite someone else. Invite someone less obvious. Maybe that's a challenge for us. Maybe this is the first challenge of this morning. Maybe this is your alpha call. Maybe this is the, actually, who should I invite to come along to listen to our comedian? Come along to the alpha course. Maybe that's our challenge, one of our challenges for today. But then Luke carries on. Luke 14, 25 to 35, the cost of being a disciple. I'm not going to read it. It's there. Read it for yourself later. But it's a real blunt and pointed instruction. It's honesty and it's honest guidance. Sometimes there is a cost to following Jesus. Sometimes there is an embarrassment factor. Sometimes there is putting ourselves out there. But it's all for the point of following Jesus. And it's all for a point of relationship. And it's all for a point of being either one of the 99 or the lost, whichever way, a sheep in the flock, in the fold of the great shepherd. So, let's just go back to a very special sheep. I want to introduce you to Lily, a lost sheep. Here is Lily. Now, there was an article written about Lily in the Wales Online in September 2021. And let me just read that article for you. Wales Online. She could no longer stand with the weight of her matted coat and had not had any human or animal contact for years, but is now enjoying a new life with other sheep and people at a sanctuary. Lily the sheep had been roaming the Gower in Wales alone for years, hardly able to stand due to the weight of her thick matted coat. And because of ill health, an animal sanctuary had said. There had been several sightings of her ploughing a lonely furrow, but no one knew who owned her or how she had ended up living such a solitary, unloved existence. Lily, the lost sheep. I just want to give some thoughts that were laid on me for this. And there were some elements in that story which I just wanted to pick up on. Because I think Lily, actually, sad as it is that she was lost, and sad as it is that she was leading such a lost life for such a period, it's great to see that she's now in a sanctuary and being cared for. But there's some things in this story which really stuck out to me. First one, the weight of her matted coat. The second one, had no human or animal contact for years. She was hardly able to stand. She had ill health. She was ploughing a lonely furrow. No one knew who owned her. She was solitary, unloved. It was an unloved existence. Poor Lily. Do you know something? Sometimes we can all be a bit like a lily. And sometimes we can know lots of other people who are just a bit like a lily. But this was not the plan for Lily. She just lost her way. It wasn't her intention. She didn't choose to get lost. It wasn't her choice to find herself all on her own. She slipped through the fence. As any good shepherd would know, and from reading my idiot guide to being a shepherd, fencing is one of the most important parts of keeping sheep. A good fence to keep them in the right place. Well, she slipped through the fence. It wasn't really her fault. She wasn't the fence builder. She's just a sheep. She couldn't find the shepherd she once knew. She didn't hear his voice. She had no flock to support her, to look out for her, or just to smile at her. All those relationships had just gone. We heard in those few points about sheep how much relationship and communication between sheep is important. She needed help, but had no one to call. She wanted to be in a relationship. She wanted to be valued. She wanted to be accepted. She just wanted to be loved. Maybe something just got in the way. Maybe Lily just... Maybe she just chose this. Maybe it was self-imposed. Maybe she decided one day, you know, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I just want to go off on my own, do my own thing. I don't want to have anything to do with anyone anymore. I want solitary life. Maybe it was self-imposed. Maybe it was just circumstances. Maybe it was just the way it was. It wasn't intended. It just happened. Just one day woke up and realised there was no one around. I'd lost everyone. I couldn't see anyone. I couldn't hear anyone. I couldn't smell them. Maybe just circumstances got in the way and all of a sudden, there she was, all on her own. Yeah, maybe she just felt guilty. Maybe she'd been doing stuff and she shouldn't have been doing it. And she didn't want to have to keep having to explain herself to all these other sheep. Why on earth do I have to explain myself to 99, those 99? I feel a bit awkward about that. I don't really want to give it up, but I feel a bit awkward. I think if I just go to the side and it'll be okay. Maybe she was just a bit scared. Maybe she was just a bit scared of all the other sheep. Maybe there was a lot going on. Maybe it's just, she just felt out of it. Maybe she just didn't feel worthy enough to be a sheep. Maybe she just didn't feel she had the right to be there with all those happy sheep. Just wasn't good enough. Or maybe the 99 just weren't her sort of crowd. Maybe that flock of sheep just weren't her, didn't float her boat. Maybe they were just not her type of people. So let's go back to where we began. Let's go back to Luke chapter 15, verses 3-7. I'll read it again because this is such an important message for us. Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." I tell you in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. He says, "Rejoice with me. I found my one." Being alone or unsafe was never in God's plan. Being on our own without a relationship with our Heavenly Father was never in the plan at all. From the very beginning, our Heavenly Father didn't want us to be separated from him. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden. God called to the man, "Where are you?" Again in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God knew that we needed company. It's not good for the man to be all alone. And the famous Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. I lack nothing. And then in Acts chapter 27, this isn't just a promise that God makes for the individual. This is a promise that God makes for lots of individuals all the time. He wants us to be safe. He wants us to be in relationship with him. In Acts 27, verses 23, 24, this is the story where Paul is on the boat coming out, basically going to Rome. It's almost one of the final stages of Paul's journeys. And he's been a prisoner. He's being shipped off to Rome. The boats he's on and the company he's with are getting into horrendous storms. And God speaks to Paul through an angel and says, "Paul, it's going to get rough out there. It's going to be hard. But my promise to you is the boats will be lost. Everything will be lost, but no single person will be lost. All will be safe." So God promises to save all those who were sailing with him through a great storm. A great storm sometimes makes us feel like we were a bit lost. God's promise to Paul and to the 300 or so people that were with him when they ended up getting shipwrecked on the island of Malta, God's promise to them was, "I will keep you safe. It may not be the things around you, but I will keep you safe." And then there's the great day of joy ahead. Revelation chapter 20, 21, 3 and 4. "Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people. So where are we today? This I find sometimes you need a time of self-reflection. Am I a bit like a lost sheep? Do I just feel like I feel so alone? A bit out of it? Do I feel separated from my Heavenly Father? Do I feel separated from my friends? Am I a bit like a lily, roaming on her own? Or am I one of the 99? And I feel really challenged by this. On a personal level, I feel really challenged by this. Am I one of the 99? One of the 99 who just sits there and has great fun and enjoying lovely relationships and having great times, but missing the one who's wandering. Am I one of the 99 who's looking inwards and not seeing the one who's wandering off, not to be seen again, or wandering off through hurt, or wandering off because they felt a bit out of it, or wandering off because they don't really get this group of 99? Today is an opportunity. I think today is an opportunity for us to reflect. To reflect and enjoy being in a close relationship with our Heavenly Father. There is nothing more special in the whole of creation than our personal relationship with our Heavenly Father and his personal relationship with us. His desire has always been and will always be that you will know that you are altogether lovely. In his eyes, you are perfect. In his eyes, you are his son. You are his daughter. In his eyes, you are wonderful. Regardless of the circumstance around you, regardless of the history, regardless of situations that have happened. Your Heavenly Father will say to you today, I love you. You are my child, and I want to be with you. I don't ask you for anything other than let me be with you. Let me pick you up, just like I did that sheep in the parable. Let me put you on my shoulders. Let me bring you home and hear the joy in my heavenly host for you coming home. Is it time to realize that I'm more of a wandering sheep than a part of the flock? Now, that doesn't mean we need to conform and all be the same, because as we found earlier, sheep are very different, very intelligent, very creative in what they do. They have great, they understand expression. Sheep are not the same. And we are not the same. None of us are the same. Perfection in creation is the diversity that there is within us. But am I a wandering sheep? If you're a wandering sheep and you're thinking, actually, I don't want to wander anymore. I may not want to be a part of that flock, but I don't want to wander anymore without my shepherd. And today, God's promise to you is, I will be your shepherd. I will be there with you. I will hold you. I will love you. And also there is a challenge. Is this your challenge to be our Father Shepherd and gather the ones around us? Is it the responsibility that God is putting on you to say, actually, I need to be God's shepherd in this world, looking for those who are looking like they're wandering, seeking out those who need to feel his love, without judgment, without any pre-context of any description, just looking out for the one who's wandering and saying, come, the Father is here for you. So this morning, I just want to reflect. Lily is safe. Lily is well. She's enjoying life in her sanctuary. It's a different place that which the shepherd, it's a different flock to where she was before. That doesn't matter. But this morning, the promise to you and the promise from our Heavenly Father is, he does not want anyone lost. And that includes you. If you feel like you've been wandering, feeling a little bit lost, feeling a little bit like Lily, then this morning the promise to you is this. Your Father in heaven has a desire to be with you and to walk with you and to share with you and to love you. Open your eyes to see your shepherd walking to you. So this morning, let's pray. We call to a close. Let's just pray, very quick prayer, and then we move on with our day. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you have a desire to walk with us, to talk with us, to be with us. You have a desire to not allow us to get lost. And when we do get lost and sometimes go astray, you have a desire to be there to bring us home. This morning, Heavenly Father, may I open myself to you. May I recognize my need for you as my shepherd. And Heavenly Father, if As one of a crowd, one of the flock, of one of the 99, I pray, Lord, that you will open my eyes to see those who are feeling a little bit out of it, those who are feeling a little bit lost. And you will challenge me. The most important thing that we can know is our relationship and our love for our Father in heaven and our Father in heaven's love and relationship to us. And so this morning, as we go on our way and start our day, I pray your blessing upon us. May the love and the relationship of our Heavenly Father be with you this day and going forward. May his love dwell within you. May his protection be around you. And may you know what it is to be picked up and wrapped around his shoulders. And may you hear the great joy and celebration. May you be blessed with the joy and celebration of a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Amen.